welcome everyone. Great to be here with you. Great to worship with you today. There just was such a sweet presence of the Lord here in the house today. I just was very, very blessed, and I'm just praying that God will continue to pour that out upon each and every one of us. And so we're just going to expect more. Who wants to hear more from God in their lives? Who wants to hear more today? I know that I do. And so I want to welcome everybody that's watching us both here and online. My name is Pastor Todd, along with my wife Jan. We're the lead pastors here, and we're just so blessed for you to be here with us. I love this verse in John chapter 8, verse 36, and I felt like to share this even before I dug into the message. And again, it's those whom the Son sets free are free indeed. And I'm believing that God wants to provide more and greater freedom in all of our lives. Now, last week I wasn't here. We did something that we've really never done before. I pre-recorded a message and shared with you about that. I was in South Carolina with my dad. It was the first time I'd ever traveled with my dad for a week together to see my son Isaac play some baseball in warm weather. Who likes warm weather? Yeah, warm weather is always good. Now, I got to say this. Airlines, for me, haven't always been kind to me. I flew an airline that for the last three times that I flew them, they always lost one of my suitcases. And so even this on this trip, when they were like, I had my carry-on, it was a little bit bigger, they're like, would you like to check it in? And I said, absolutely not. Wherever the plane goes, that's where my luggage goes. Wherever I'm on that, that's what's going to happen. And so I want to say this about those of us who fly as well, that I don't know about you, I'm all for airline safety. I think it's a great thing. But I find it a bit humorous that for both takeoff and landing, that they want your seat in the fully upright position. Now, have you ever thought about this? That somehow like that 4 to 6 inches is going to be the difference between life and death? I mean, have you ever thought about that? The plane's going 300 or 400 miles an hour, and this is life, and then this is, you're not going to make it. So it's like life, death. Life, death. I mean, it's kind of an interesting concept, and I'm sure they have more reasons for it, but I sit there and I think about this. Wow, that is an amazing thing that they focus on. Now, I've got to say this. I do love traveling to different places. I like to see new sights. I love eating new food. I like to see things that I've never seen before. And last spring, I visited New York City for the first time with my kids, Lindsay and Isaac. It was quite an experience for us. We traveled through the city by car, by train, even rode the subway. What an experience. I think I might have been mugged. I can't be 100% sure, but it was... There were so many people in there, it was amazing. We visited Manhattan, and we saw the Empire State Building. We traveled to the iconic Grand Central train station on our way to Yankee Stadium to watch a baseball game. And tasted some of the best thin crust pizza I've ever had in Union Station, which is actually right under Madison Square Garden, where the New York Rangers and the New York Knicks play. It was an incredible time. It was so much fun. It was a great memory for my kids and I. But I want to let you know that what made this three-day vacation possible was great planning. We had a prearranged plan for our trip, mapping out where we were going to go, what we wanted to do, and how we were going to get there. So we left nothing to chance. Now, I would say this, that most people, and I say most people, I know there are some that are going to be like, well, I used to go backpacking with no plan. I'd go over here. But most people, when they go on a trip, know what they're going to do. They have a plan for it. They have an itinerary mapped out. They want to make sure that they don't miss something. See, I don't believe anybody would really take a dream vacation without taking the time to make a detailed plan. However, I've got to say this. When it comes to our finances, when it comes to the way that we handle our money, many people do so without any plan. They just live paycheck to paycheck, month to month. And so they don't know how they're going to meet their short-term needs or their long-term goals. And I believe this. Don't you think that what happens with our finances is much more than what you would do for a trip or a dream vacation? Don't you think it's more valuable? Here's what it says in Proverbs 29, verse 18. And I'm going to read this out of the ESV version. It says, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. See, I believe this. When we do not have a plan for any area of our life, especially our finances, we live by our feelings and we don't have restraint. See, cast off restraint could also mean to not have discipline. You see, when we do not have a plan for our finances, we tend to live in the moment with our spending. It's just the way it happens. Because it's much easier to spend aimlessly buying more than we need, many times with money we do not have, leading to unaccounted debt. And here's what's the reality, and I've had to counsel people so many times. Many times people do not know how they are in trouble until it becomes desperate. They don't realize they're in trouble. Because sometimes when we're not sure, I get this, I've been in my life, or maybe I actually know things are not where they should be. Well, I don't want to look too deep into it. It'll just depress me. It'll discourage me. And so we just go on until all of a sudden we're in trouble. And so today, as we continue our journey finding financial freedom, defeating the giant of debt, we're going to discuss how we can take control of our money using a working budget. Now, I'm going to do everything I can to make the word budget sound exciting and fun, but it's some things aren't always exciting and fun. We can do that, but they're necessary. Can you agree with me on that? That sometimes things that we need to do are necessary, even though they're not always the most enjoyable. I'm actually hoping to help make it a little bit more enjoyable process for you. Simply, a budget is assigning or giving each dollar we earn a task. It's telling our money where we want it to go, what we believe it should be doing for us, instead of the other way around. You see, there are four tasks you can assign to money, and I'm going to make it this simple. First of all, to spend on our behalf. You can do whatever you want with it. Number two, to save on our behalf. Number three, to invest on our behalf. And number four, to give on our behalf. Those are the four things practically you can do with your money. Now, the problem with debt, and the reason we're talking about defeating the giant of debt, is that it typically dominates our spending, robbing us of the ability to save, invest, or give. And I've said this probably each week that we've been on this series, that remember, either you will master your money or your money will master you. See, the Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender, or the lender becomes your master, Proverbs 22, verse 7. Now, if you don't believe me, just skip a car payment or two. Refuse to pay your utility bill, or hold off on paying your rent or your mortgage. You will find out really quick that there are other things and expectations that people will have for you if you don't take care of it. And that you have nothing to do with it anymore. You are going to have to do that unless you want some other issues. See, a working budget allows us to take control of our finances and puts us in a position to force our money to work for us. And we want our money to work for us, not the other way around. Now, before I share some details on budgeting, I want to talk about money and relationships and how it relates especially to marriage relationships. Now, healthy finances tend to lead to healthy relationships, especially in our marriage. Did you know this? The number one reason most divorces occur in Canada is because of money problems or the stress associated with poor money choices. You see, a proper budget, when it's done well, when it's done together, when it's done in unity, will provide greater unity and togetherness in marriage. Now, for those who are looking to get married, learning money skills, that includes budgeting, paying down debt, and saving, is so important. You see, if you can grasp this now when you're younger, because I'm going to be going to different places here, it will save you so much strain, so much difficulty that so many people get into because nobody teaches them how to handle money properly. Now, a budget planning where money is given, spent, saved, and invested is something that should be done. I'm speaking to married people now. It's something that you should be doing together as a couple. Now, it does not mean that both people do the accounting and the bill paying together. Sometimes you come into agreements on how that's going to work in your family. And I want to say this, there's no exact right way to do that, except that you need to be communicating and talking about it together. How much goes to groceries, to clothes, debt repayment, and savings, and so on, is done together. And if there's a change in the plan, it means that you talk about it before it's implemented, because things come up in life, things that you didn't plan for. I know what that's like when all of a sudden your car just quits running and it's not working anymore. Those are things that you normally can't plan for. Well, you can, and we'll talk about that later. Here's something really important. I want to say this because I meet with people a fair bit. When one partner makes more money or even the other partner doesn't make any money, both should have equal input into how the money is implemented, the plan that you're going to have. You see, it's not my money. It's not my wife's money. It's our money. We are now together. You see, when you get married, the Bible says that the two become one flesh. And I know sometimes people are like, well, what if I can't trust him or I can't trust her? Then maybe you have some other issues that need to be dealt with, because money is just revealing where there probably is a breakdown in the relationship. You see, I also believe this, and this is a conviction that I have, that all bank accounts should be joint bank accounts. Why? Because then there's no secrets. There's nobody over here doing their thing, another person over here doing this. Again, all of our resources are together. I want to tell you that right now. So having a healthy budget, here's the other part that's so powerful about this. It gives married couples a clear conscience because they've already communicated what they're going to do. So when you're out spending money, you don't have to sit there and go, oh boy, I wonder what my wife's going to say. I don't know if you've ever been that, gentlemen or ladies, that you're like, oh man, I'm going to have to explain why there's 10 Amazon packages at the front door today. What happened? Well, if you already have had a great discussion about where things are, then you have the freedom, listen to me, you have the freedom to do what you guys plan together. And I think that's a blessing. That's a great blessing. Now, this can be challenging, though, when it comes to putting a budget together, because men and women tend to see money differently. And I'm going to go into some overgeneralization. So if I'm like, you're like looking at me and going, well, I don't see it that way. I don't do it that way. I'm doing some overgeneralizations, okay? Can you give me some latitude here today? You can fire me later, but right now, this is where I'm coming from. Why? Because God made men and women differently. And I say that to this, hallelujah. Thank you for that, okay? Let's just go right there. So here we go, a few items. When it comes to money, we need to understand this. Men typically, they tend to gravitate towards higher risk investments where I can make more money and have a higher return. Why is this? Because as men, we like to win. We want to do things that are just big and awesome. Now, women tend to look for security. They tend to look for low-risk guarantees. How can I preserve the money? How can I lock it into savings? Yes, it's okay to grow it, but let's make sure that it's done safely, the right way. When it comes to shopping, men get deals by negotiating. They like to negotiate. They like to get a discount where we can. Why? Because, again, I already said this, we like to win. Women get deals by hunting, because that's why we sometimes, I can't understand this. My wife just wants to go to the stores and look around. Man, I don't ever want to go to a store and just look around. That's what I'm buying. I got it. I'm out of here. And it's like, why? Because they enjoy the process. They enjoy the process. And can I say this? Neither one is right or wrong. It's just who we are. Now, you know, I know that some ladies that don't like to shop. I know that some men who love to shop. That doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. Like I said, it's just typical. So when financial problems hit, here's what we have to say. Men lose self-esteem when there are money problems. Why? Because money represents a scorecard. How am I doing? Am I taking care of my family? Am I providing the right way? Am I really taking care of everybody? And so when things go bad, it really impacts typically a man's self-esteem. Women, on the other hand, face fear, even terror. Why? Because, as I said before, security is the issue. And when there's money problems, it's a threat to that security. And why is this important? Because when you go to sit down and talk together, you have to be aware of this, where there can be opposition and challenges and struggles. Well, I don't understand why she won't let me start a brand new business and put all of our mortgage, our house, and all of this. Well, it's because you're just basically pulling the carpet out from under your wife. And I don't understand why he has to be so reckless and careless, and, you know, that's what happens. But also in a relationship, I want to say this. There's two other factors. Usually one is the nerd, and one is a free spirit. Now, the nerd loves the budget, loves the details, and planning to, because the planning helps them to feel prepared, if not only for the present, but also for the future. See, typically the nerd enjoys doing the budget because it gives them control. It helps them feel like they are taking care of their family. The free spirit usually doesn't like to get caught up in the details of the finances. Why? Because there's just way more important things to do in life. When it comes to the budget, the free spirit can feel controlled by the nerd and not trusted, while the free spirit can appear irresponsible to the nerd. I'm going to share a story from my life personally. When Jan and I were first married, she handled the finances. And she did a great job purchasing the groceries, paying the rent. She figured out all that on my, because she was in college, wasn't working. I had an $8.50 hour. That was my wages. Now, we encountered a problem early on. Instead of eating the lunches she made for me, I'd go out to lunch for the guys. Oh, yeah. I was that guy. Everybody can give me some shame, a little bit of, oh, my gosh. But I'm going to tell you what happened. Two things happened very quickly. She stopped making lunches for me. And I became responsible for tracking the budget. But here's what happened. I went from being the irresponsible and sometimes insensitive free spirit to a complete financial nerd. For the last 29 years, I basically taken care of the finances in our family. And here's what's come out of it. I'm such a nerd that I read the CRA, Canada Revenue Agency, update on taxation for fun. I'm serious. I find ways to save money. I'm totally into it. And you got a nerd pastor, deal with it. Now, if we understand that our partner's perspective is different than ours, it will help us work through the challenges when we start. And for the single folks out there, I want you to know the beautiful thing about being single is that you only have to come to agreement with yourself and God in regard to money. Now, I am going to give you some advice. I recommend that you do have some people in your life to discuss your personal budget and financial plans with. Secondly, here's a big one. Until you're legally married, don't do joint bank accounts or make purchase agreements together with a friend or a significant other. It almost always leads to broken relationships and disaster. You see, I believe this. If you listen to what I'm saying, it will keep you both from financial grief and ruin. Remember, this is about finding financial freedom. Now, let's get into actually how do we make a healthy budget. You see, the flow of our money represents the value system under which the family operates. And it's easy to tell what is important to people. I've said this in other areas that I've talked about, that where you put your time and your money tells anybody what is your most important areas. So budgeting starts by having a written plan where, again, we give every dollar an assignment. Now, when I say written plan, it can include spreadsheets like Excel or Numbers or an online budgeting program. So the written down is that you just have somewhere to record what your income and what your expenses are. A written plan removes the spend by crisis from your finances. If you put a written plan together and you're willing to stick to it, things aren't going to catch you by surprise. Things are not going to cause you to deviate from what you're doing if you are willing to stick for it, stick with it. And here's what I want you to know. Listen to this. When we properly budget our money, it has been proven that it goes much farther. In fact, most people limit their spending by almost 20% when they have an agreed-on budget. When there's a written budget, again, as I shared earlier, it takes away shame from actually purchasing things, spending things. Why? Because you have planned for it. It's not just an impulse decision. Now, a key part of having a budget is having a way to track your income and expenses. So there's kind of two parts. This is where I want to go with it, and I know that there are some programs that do both. That's great. But first of all, we got to find out right at the beginning, where is our money actually going? You know, how do I even make a budget if I don't know where my expenses are and my income is at and how what I've done with it? So that's probably the first part you need to do. And I recommend using an online program like Quicken Simplify, which is about $4 a month, or Nerd Wallet, which is free. There's a lot of others. You actually might have some things that you're already using. And I would say this to me, if you've got something that you're using to track your expenses and you think it's great, please let me know, because I will pass that information on to other people. I use Microsoft Money, which has been obsolete for about 15 years. I just keep adding. I have an old computer that I just don't play around with because I understand it. It works for me. As well, there are many apps for people who prefer that platform. And if you prefer a paper, like a legitimate paper kind of ledger. You can go to Staples and buy those old ledgers that have all the lines in them, or you can go to where I get a lot of my stuff at Ramsey Solutions. They have a ton of things. In fact, a lot of those handouts that you have are part of their stuff that's for free. You see, if you have a simple financial tracking system that I've not mentioned, please tell, I already said it. So we're doing this to give an assignment to every dollar, because it's important to know where it's going. So the first thing we do in a budget is we start with our monthly income. And I have a sheet in there for you, and that just gives you basically all of the different areas that you might be gaining income from, like your salaries, child tax benefit, rental income, investment income, even gifts, if you know that there's some gifts that are coming. Again, the ideal thing to do is that we record all of the stuff that's coming towards us. And next, we assign a destination for each after our tax dollars. So really, what are we going to budget? You cannot do anything with the money that your employer is taking off your paycheck. That's already gone. Until your tax return is filed, and down the road we can talk about how do you get most of that back. That's out of it. You want to find out what are you actually getting in your hands to spend each month. That's what we're going to put into that column. And then we start by listing our current expenses, or those amounts that are reoccurring or fixed. What do I mean about that? Once you sign a contract, once you sign a mortgage, once you get a utility bill, once you get a cell phone contract, that is going to be an expense that comes out every month whether you want it to or not. You don't get to control that anymore unless you pay that off, or it's one of those things that you can do that with. So we talk about car payments, loan payments, insurance. That would be a fixed income. Every year, you're going to get to pay more because that's just how insurance works. Minimum credit card payments, automatic investments like TFSAs or RSPs or that kind of stuff. So that's our first thing that we figure out right away, because we're not going to have any really much control over it in the near place. Then we list our allocated expenses or purchases that we do have control over. First, those that are essential. And what I mean by essential, you have to eat food. You can't have a zero line item in your budget for groceries. You know, but you need to probably have an idea of what you are going to spend on your groceries. Your giving, for me, that's an essential thing. For some people here, you may not agree with me. That's between you and the Lord. I know what I've taught for many years, but I believe in it. For me, that's essential. So groceries, dining out. So which of the two is the essential? Just having groceries or going out to eat? Groceries, right? So, and I'm going to say this when it comes to food. Most people, when they're first starting a budget, underestimate how much they spend on eating out and underestimate even how much they need for groceries, especially if you have kids. So my belief is that when you're starting to budget, double whatever you think you're doing until you know. Transportation is something that you have to have, but you need to have an idea of what you're going to spend on it. And then we go into like household expenses, clothing, toiletries, and some of those things. See, most of these are items that we need to live on, but not all of them. And once we put together a realistic budget, we can see what can be reduced or eliminated. Now, if you want to remove debt and build up your savings, you can get there faster if you're willing to reduce or remove certain items. I've already mentioned one. Eating out is a killer. I got to say this. Jen and I kind of went back through this in our own budget. And I don't want anybody to gasp too much, because this, for some of you, it might be like, we found out because of when our kids are in sports, but even just with church and ministry, that our eating out budget was averaging about $600 a month. We put together a budget, we talked about it, we worked through it, we're now getting it down to under $200 a month. Now some of you might be like, $200's a lot, Pastor Todd. Yeah, it might be, because you've probably done a better job with not putting money in that category. But who would say that if you get rid of 400 of it, you're making progress and headway? Yeah. So the whole idea here is we're not to judge each other. We're to figure out what we need to do to get to where God is leading us. So after we do get rid of some of those things, and I'd say that cable or streaming services, who would say they're essential? No. Entertainment, vacations for a season, not essential. This is going to be a tough one. Updating your wardrobe or going to get your nails done or other luxury treatment. You're going to have to decide whether that's essential or not. But as a man, I'm going to say it's not. Anyways, these are nice but not necessary. Oh, somebody just booed. Lastly, we put any leftover funds into one of these categories. We talked about the first one last week, the reducing debt. And I believe this with what I've been teaching you, the debt snowball, reducing debt. That's the first place we get. We want to get our debt paid off as soon as we can, besides our mortgage. That's baby step two. Because then we want to get to the next area. That is where we start to save money. And where we want to go, a baby step three, we're not going to get into that so much here, is we put 3 to 6 months of what our normal monthly expenses are. We save up for that. We have that in there. Why? Because you could lose your job. You just don't know what's going to happen. You could deal with some issues. Your car could blow up. Your furnace. Whoever here in the last bit has had like a furnace or hot water tank just going. You can't really plan for those in the big picture of when and where it's going to happen. But you know in life, it will happen somewhere. We also have stuff for vacations. We're going to begin to put that into our savings. So normally we don't go on vacation every month. So if we say like our vacation category is $100 a month, we get that over the course of a year or 2 years, depending on how often you go places, you'll know that you have $1,200 or $2,400 or whatever it is sitting in that account. It's where we do plan eventually for the home repairs. That's in that place. I know that a few years ago, on my rental house, the roof needed to be done. Well, I just didn't have $8,800 in my back pocket, but I had money saved because I knew eventually that was going to happen. Home repairs, newer car. We're going to talk about cars as we go forward here a little bit about, well, what if you want to get a new car? You begin to save for it. You begin to put money towards that. Hopefully that's making sense to you here today. Remember, the goal is to get to the place where we purchase everything with money that we already have. That's what our desire is. And then once we've done that, we've got that 3 to 6 months saved, then we want to start putting 15% of our gross income into retirement building investments. But before we do that, we have to pay off our consumer debt and have a savings account. So here's what we have to understand about budgeting. I did give you a paper to do that. I also have a paper where I made up a budget, and it has an $860 deficit. We're going to try to get that to you here either today or after the service, or it'll be there next week. Just as an assignment where I made up some numbers, and you get to figure out how do you get it to every dollar as assigned, and now you're in budget. Because it'll make you think about what your priorities are. But we have to remember this, that the goal of every budget that we do, and I'm almost done here, is to be net zero. What do I mean by that? Everything that we believe we're having for income, we've assigned it to do something. We don't have this account where it's like, well, I assign everything but $500 a month because that's just my fun money or to do whatever I want. No, if you're doing a healthy budget, you budget that. What you're both going to have for spending, you talk about that with each other. The budget shows whether you need to reduce your spending, or sometimes we do have to find more income. Sometimes we do need to look at, do we need to get a second job or have something that's a little bit of a side hustle for us? Why? Because we realize that we need more money to get to where we're going. I remember when I was making that $8.50 an hour, and it wasn't very much, I got a paper out for about 2 years. I delivered the Calgary Sun. In fact, sometimes my wife and I would do that together in the morning, and it added enough money to help us do the things that we had to do in that time. I got some stories on that. Let me tell you this. Don't ever, if your wife is delivering papers with you, hide behind a bush and jump out and scare her. It's really a terrible plan. Hey, I was only newly married. I've learned a lot more things in life. See, a good budget, I want to give you just some principles as you're doing this. A good budget works only when you record all your income and expenses. You can't pick and choose what's included in the details. A lot of times people will come and say, Pastor Todd, the budget doesn't work. And I'm like, but that's just my special account. Well, no, it doesn't work like that. You have to give everything a thing. It's like playing honest golf. How many golfers do we have here that play golf sometimes? You know, the reality of it is that's not what a lot of people do here, but when you are really being an honest golfer, there are no mulligans. That's where you get to redo a shot. There are no foot wedges. That's where you kick the ball out from under the tree. And no gimmies. Everything has to be putted into the hole. You see, I say this many times, people complain, but it's because they're not tracking everything. I say this, a good budget must be realistic. Expecting to pay $100,000 worth of debt in 1 year and you'll make only $50,000 is a pipe dream. Or that you're going to live on $100 a month for groceries and you have two kids. Not ever going to happen. You see, realistic expectations are the key to finding success in all areas of our life, including our finances. And I want to say this, I really want to emphasize this today. Developing a good budget requires grace. Most people don't understand this. Budgeting is a skill that takes time to develop, so give yourself the grace to learn. You're not just in the first month going to be like, oh, I can't believe it. We didn't even come close on this. Well, it's because it's just like if you're going to become a long-distance runner, you're not going to run a marathon in the first week. You got to build up those skills. You got to build up your understanding of how it works. You got to understand what you're doing and what you're not doing. But don't give up if it does not work perfectly in the beginning, because it will take some time. And I want to say this, a good budget works if it's something your whole family is willing to commit to. I believe this, both the husband and the wife must be committed to making it work. And I say this, for those of you that have children, I don't care whether they're 4 or 5, there's a lot of things you can do, or they're teenagers or young adults. Talking about what you're doing with your money with your kids is extremely important. Explain what you're doing and why you're doing it. You see, I believe this, as you take the time to determine where your money goes, know that the giant of debt will eventually be defeated and you will experience financial freedom. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 21, verse 5. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. There are no shortcuts to becoming somebody that is financially free. Because here's the reality. As you begin to do this, see, I've only talked about how do we get rid of the giant of debt. What you don't realize, because this is where it's going to go, God actually wants to prosper you. And I'm not talking about the prosperity doctrine. We just name it and claim it. No, if you learn healthy habits, live by godly principles, do what you know that you should do, you commit to it, there's a great opportunity that you're not only just going to be peaceful, but you're also going to be blessed and you're going to prosper. Because I serve a God who wants to prosper his people. Amen? See, we have to remember that this is a long play, not a short-term fix. And I want to say this, if you want to go deeper and learn how to defeat the giant of debt and live with greater financial freedom, I want to encourage you to sign up for the course I'll be teaching in April, Finding Financial Freedom Part 1. It'll be after church from 1:30 to 3. And I'm just believing that there's already a good group of people that are signing up. If this is something you think that would help you, and I assure you that it will, no matter where you're at in your finances, you are going to be blessed with that. I'll close with this scripture. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Many of us have heard this many times. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I believe God wants to show you that this is possible for you, that this is part of his plan for your life, is to be free. So I want to pray a few things here. I want to pray that God will give you the courage to be able to create this budget. It's going to feel awkward. It's going to feel a bit difficult in places. But if you trust God, he's going to help you to do it. And to learn to live, what you make is what you are able to spend. We don't overdo that. We don't allow, we don't spend more than we earn. So we're going to believe God to help us commit to that. And we're going to look for God's help to build discipline that leads to freedom. So Father, today I just pray for each person that is here today. God, that you would give them your grace, your mercy. Lord, where we're at right now is where we're at. It's from years of things. But I believe this, that so many people have never been taught a different way. That so many people have never been taught there's an idea that you can live without the burden of debt on your lives. And so, God, I pray that you just open their eyes to see, their ears to hear. Lord, that they be able to see, Father God, that you want them to be free. And so, God, I pray today, God, that you would give them the courage to change. The courage to make those steps, Father God. But the grace also to give them the time to be able to learn these new skills. And Lord, for those that, Father God, are able to research it on their own and you're going to lead them in this through their own path, I pray that you just continue to encourage them, help them, give them your blessing. But for those who need more time, more help to do this, God, I pray that you would bring them together, that we could learn this together, that a group of us could go through this and encourage each other and inspire each other and talk about our places where we didn't quite get there and also our victories, God. Lord, I pray that you would just lead us into greater victory in your name, Father God. And Lord, that you'll just bless them and that the kingdom of God will be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.